So this is what I want to do at some of these nights of power over this year. I believe that one of the roles of my life as a leader is not just to carry power, but it's to equip you to carry power. Bible talks about apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is making disciples. The work of the ministry is reaching lost people. The work of the ministry is ministering to those who are part of our church and those who aren't. And so I want to equip you tonight to carry power. All right. Who would like to carry some power in your life? Just a greater dimension. All right. Now, this is different to what we talked about this morning. These go packaged. Okay, this morning was God comes into you for you. The Holy Spirit lives in you for you, to guide you, to shape you, to pour His love, to heal your heart, to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. He comes in you to commune with you for a beautiful fellowship. When you have communion with the Holy Spirit, you will have peace, joy, life. You'll be more patient. Who's got someone beside them who needs to be more patient? Whoa, okay, there we go. It's the fruit of the Spirit that will do that. It's the fruit of the Spirit. But what I'm talking about right now is the power of the Spirit. Now, you don't want to have one or the other. You want to have them both. You don't want to be a wacko Christian with no character, but it's got some power. But you don't want to be a great character Christian who's got no power. It's not one or the other. It's both. The Holy Spirit's in you to make you like Christ, and He comes upon you so that you can carry His power. Now, that power can be power to be a parent. That power can be power to create wealth. That power can be the power to teach. That power can be the power to heal, the power to prophesy, the power to move in the miraculous, the power to cast out demons. You don't need a microphone or a platform to move in the power of God. In fact, the most powerful moments that will probably happen in the majority of our life is in your connect group, with your neighbor, at your workplace, in all sorts of different environments. Maybe it's part of the new people team on Encounter Day, all sorts of things. And so I want to give you some keys to power. All right, who would like some keys to power? So there's a number of them. Tongues is one we're going to talk about tonight. Fasting is another. We've got a 21-day fast coming up in July. That's a key to power. Waiting on God is a key to power, just waiting in His presence, getting clothed with His power. Boldness is a key to the power of God being released. The name of Jesus is a key to power. Faith is a key to power. But tonight, I'm just going to hone in on one, and it's tongues. Shukamre sukumlaka, one of my favorites, like all of them are. The gift of tongues. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18 says this: I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, he also addresses to make sure that this is not like you're the super Christian because you speak in tongues. It's something to help you and do a whole lot of things in your life, but it doesn't make you better than anybody else. In fact, he said the greatest thing is love. Love's more important than speaking in tongues. The motivation for ministering in power has to be love, not to prove myself or to feel good about myself. It has to be God's love in me to help other people, all right? That's the motivation of ministering in power. But Paul says, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. The Bible tells us there's three types of tongue. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So the tongues of men is when Pentecost Sunday came, they spoke in actual languages that other people could understand. So I've heard so many stories of people going to a foreign place and speaking in their tongue, not knowing what they're saying, and they're actually declaring in the language of people that they're speaking to the goodness and the gospel of Jesus, and they don't even know. It's like Google Translate, except it's heaven-based. It's awesome, right? So that's one. That's the tongues of men. That's a big one that hit them on Pentecost Sunday. The next one is the tongues of angels. Tongues of angels. Angel means messenger. So the tongues of angel is a messenger tongue. It's not your normal personal speaking in tongues. And that's why the Bible says when there's a messenger, there's a tongue brought in a meeting, there needs to be an interpretation. Because that that is a message from God. Most of that would happen for us, not so much publicly in a corporate service, but in a connect group setting where the Spirit of God comes on somebody and they just speak in tongues, but it's unusual to them. And you feel the power of God come. And then someone, while they're speaking, interprets it. That's the second type. And then the third type of tongues is the tongues that comes when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's your personal tongue. It's what God gives to you. And there's about seven or eight things that happen when you pray in tongues. Would you like to know what they are? All right, because I want to give you some power keys tonight. One is, like, just, okay, before we get into the word, research has been done and brains have been hooked up when people have spoken in tongues on research stuff. What would it be called? Diagnostics. And they found that the frontal lobe is not engaged when a person speaks in tongues. This is university research. The language center is not engaged when a person speaks in tongues. It comes from another part of your brain that is not used for anything else. So it's not conscious, which is why some people can get locked up and not get the gift of tongues, because they're all focused in their mind and they're locking up God coming. You got to surrender to get tongues. You got to kind of activate your faith, and you'll feel a little silly at first, but that's because it's totally different to what you're normal to. Then the other really cool thing is they wired up a number of people at the Oral Roberts University of speaking in tongues, and they found two chemicals that are released to improve your immune system by 35 to 40% when you speak in tongues. Okay, who would like an immune boost? Hello. I mean, I'm not even started on the real, on what the Bible says. That's just, science will tell you that's what happens. Your cortisol levels will actually go down. That's your stress levels when you speak in tongues. So you want less, who would like to be less stressed? Okay, we're helping somebody tonight. Here's some things that happens when you speak in tongues. Now, all right, I've been encouraged to be quite practical but personal about what I do, because I want to help you. So different seasons of my life, I set myself to speak in tongues. I need a greater dimension of power right now, so I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour. I set my watch to it. What I usually would try and do is understand how much am I going to pray today, and I'll spend about a third of it speaking in tongues. That's not the rule. That's just a guideline for me. So Lord, I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour today. No, I'm going to pray for an hour today. I would pray in tongues for what would a third be? Thank you very much. 20 minutes. Just making sure you're listening. So if you're like, oh, I'd like to pray for 30 minutes every day. A guideline would be to pray for 10 minutes in tongues. If you're going to pray for 3 hours every day, a guideline would be to pray in tongues for an hour. That's my current goal of what I'm going after, so that I'm praying in the Spirit. And I'll tell you why. When you understand why, just let me detour for a moment. You want the power of God on you. So praying in tongues is one way. Another way is just waiting and worshiping and soaking in God's presence. And so my current rule, just this is me personally, my current guideline is a third waiting and worshiping, a third praying in tongues, and a third in what would be fourth dimension prayer, creating, declaring, speaking my I ams and things over myself. So I'm creating things. So when I'm worshiping and waiting, I'll be confessing stuff and getting right with God and forgiving people. When I'm praying in tongues, I'm doing about eight things. All right. And when I'm getting into the next zone, which is front-footed, worship's awesome. Like, worship and waiting is so relaxing. It's easy. It's like, I feel like I'm cheating because I'm just enjoying God. Stress is going to leave when you wait on God and worship. Put on some worship music that you love and just don't even have to worship. Just listen. Then I pray in tongues, and then I begin to declare over my world and responsibilities. So when I start to pray in tongues, I'm determined, I've got to go. This is a little mantra. I've got to go. It's like I'm now going to a spiritual gym. So I don't know if you've ever turned up to the gym or a boot camp and you're like, oh, I really just don't want to be here. And you're kind of half-hearted and you've just got to go. If I'm going to get something out of this, I've got to go. All right. That's my mentality when I begin to pray in tongues. I've got to go. I'm gonna do some things in the spirit. I take authority over my body so that my body and tiredness and distraction doesn't rob me. I'm letting you into John's world. I've got little scripture cards. And so if I'm praying in tongues for, let's say, half an hour, I've got a number of scripture cards to focus my mind on what's happening in the spirit while I'm praying in tongues. Because I don't want you to, you can pray in tongues and your brain can be a mile away and you're kind of almost wasting the time. So I want my brain engaged. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. 1 Corinthians 14, 18 and 19. So I'm locking in on scripture. So I've just bought a few here tonight just to kind of help you. What works for me? So the first one I'll often lock in is 1 Corinthians 14:4. It's he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. So one's for me, one's for everybody else. He who speaks in tongues. So edifies means to charge or build up. So my first 3 or 4 minutes, and it'll vary, but I'm like, okay, God, I'm charging my spirit. Now, I often don't feel anything for quite a while. The emphasis is not so much on feeling, but something's happening. I like to do things, you know, the Bible says lift up holy hands, there's all sorts of things. I like my body to engage in praying in tongues. Okay, I'm praying in tongues, I'm edifying myself. This is one of the things I do. I imagine the Holy Spirit is a person standing in front of me and I put my hands out and hold his hands. Like a battery charger, the cords. That's my picture. Like, hello, Holy Spirit. I'm here to pray in your language. I'm here to get charged. I'm here for my spirit to get built up. And I'm in and out of your awesome Holy Spirit. I love your Holy Spirit. And I'm literally building myself up. See, I can't build you up, but you can build yourself up. And if you want to have spiritual power and strength, then it's simple, but not easy. It takes discipline. So that's the first thing, I'm edifying. The next one that I will focus on, and I skip around these ones, is John chapter 7, 38, 39. He that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on will receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet received, but Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Holy Ghost hadn't come, they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. But this is what the Bible says, out of your belly, okay, the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. There's a river, there's a spring of God available. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So one of the ways to get the flow of the rivers is to speak in tongues. This is one of the most powerful things on the planet. No wonder the devil hates speaking in tongues, makes fun of it, gets religion to stand against it. If you've ever been taught, side note, if you've ever been taught that speaking in tongues is one of the gifts just for some people, but not for everybody, okay? So you're probably not going to be here if you've been taught speaking in tongues is evil, but if you have, stay with me, full of the Bible. But some people are like, no, it's only for some people, but others get healing and others get prophecy. It just doesn't make sense through the Bible and how when the Holy Spirit felt they spoke in tongues, but also, I can't imagine the Holy Spirit going, okay, Gemma, you can edify, you can build yourself up. Summer, you can build yourself up. Sorry, Dan, you didn't get it. Kyle, you can build yourself up. I don't see God doing that. I see God going, I want everybody to edify themselves. So everybody gets the gift of tongues. Just got to get your brain out of the road. Get your theology lined up with the Word of God. Okay, so you edify yourself. The second one, there's rivers. So this is another picture I'll have. I'll be standing up and I'm like, okay, Rusha kam lesikum rako lesiko la mama. And you'll notice my hands have changed. Before I'm charging. Now I'm like, oh, there's a river inside of me. As I pray, let the river of God bubble up. I'm focusing my mind on the scripture. I'll say it, but and the river starts to flow. See, when you get saved, you get a spring. But when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you get access to a river. and a river can bubble up on the inside. Or we could stop there and just go, but let's keep going. The next thing is you get filled. Ephesians 5, 18, 19, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I think if you're not filled with the Spirit and you don't tap into the awesomeness of being filled with the Holy Spirit, getting drunk is attractive. So we need to show a generation and a world how awesome it is to be drunk in the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then that just becomes a very cheap imitation with a bad headache and stupid consequences. Right? So be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Psalms are from scripture. Hymn, songs of praise that have got word, English words. Spiritual songs, that's singing in the Spirit. So you're like, I want to be filled. Because if he says be filled, that means you can be empty. That means getting baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-off experience. That the Greek word actually means keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep being filled. I often like to ask myself, how filled am I? How much joy have I got? How much passion have I got? How much power am I carrying? That'll be an indicator of being filled. And so, okay, another little key to getting filled. It's not just speaking in tongues, it's singing in tongues. It's kind of like you change gears. You just lean back. Put some worship on. I won't do it to you, okay? Because I'll scare you away, but the Holy Spirit will come. You get filled. Is this helping anybody right now? You get wisdom. I love this. Ephesians 1:17, when I'm speaking in tongues. That the Lord, we talked about this morning, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, Ephesians 1:17, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Holy Spirit's the spirit of wisdom. When I'm praying in tongues every morning, one of the things I'm asking is, Holy Spirit, I'm going to encounter stuff today that I need your wisdom for. So this is how I think of it. I'm cheating again. I'm pre-downloading wisdom for the day by praying in the Holy Ghost. Shukamare bula mama. God, I need wisdom. Rakomulere buramu robole barata. Spirit of wisdom. Fill me with wisdom. Rakom lese kamrusha. When I encounter a situation that I don't know how to handle, I'm asking you to download wisdom now. So when I get to that moment, it'll bubble up on the inside of me because I've got wisdom from the Holy Ghost. Shukam raka. I was teaching some people the other day. You could just go for, if you're going to pray in tongues for half an hour, 5 minutes each one. Just keep going through. Time goes like that when you actually know what you're doing, when you have an understanding in the spirit of what you're building in your life. Wisdom. Okay, the next one, I love this. I call it stirring yourself up. Oh, you've got to go. Isaiah 64 verse 7, there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take a hold of you. So when I'm praying in tongues, one of the things I'm doing is I'm stirring myself up to take a hold of God. I remember Mike Connell being here and talking to us about shaking your hands, stirring yourself up. He said an external thing, and I began to do it. And it's like in Kings, a prophet says to a king, strike the ground with an arrow. And he only struck the ground 3 times, and then he didn't win all the victories he was supposed to win. And you're like, how weird is that? Striking the ground with an arrow. That's because what God told him to do. So when I speak in tongues, I'm thinking of that. God, I'm getting victories. I'm stirring myself up. I'm stirring myself up. Now, by this time in my prayer moment, so much content. The Holy Spirit is in you to bring peace. The Holy Spirit will be in you and he'll settle you. There'll be a settling. So your communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, they'll come, and it's beautiful and it's amazing. That's when you're communing with him. But when he comes on you, he stirs you. Boldness comes on you. And you, it's not one or the other. So if you want to move in the power of God through the day, I've got peace on the inside, but now I'm stirring myself up to be clothed with power. Oh, this is good preaching. So good. We're gonna practice soon. It's not just a message, but I want to give you keys. Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift of God in you. Someone said you've got the gift of prophecy. You've got the gift of healing. How do you stir up that gift? I'm stirring up the gift of healing. You're a Connect Group leader. You've got people coming for Connect Group in half an hour. You want the power of God to move in your Connect Group. What are you going to do? You're going to like spend time getting the house clean while you're praying in tongues. You're going to put some worship music on, but you're going to rushaka God. I'm stirring. You don't want. Yes, the peace comes, and that's awesome. But if you want power, stir yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Strike the ground with some arrows. The youth team, you want power to come on a Friday night? Well, don't just turn up the church like, come on. Get in your prayer room before you come and then get together and pray. There's power when you speak in tongues. Okay, calm it down, Pastor. Stirring. Okay, two to go. Dave, just bring me a chair. Just bring me a chair, would you? Thank you. All right, I have a chair in my prayer room. And often when I'm waiting on God, I'm sitting in my chair and I'm waiting, and it's like, you know, Jesus said, Martha, you're all distracted. Poor old Martha. But Mary's doing the right thing. She's sitting at Jesus' feet. So when I'm waiting on God, I'll either sit, maybe kneel, maybe stand, but I'm waiting. And I'm trying to keep my mouth quiet, because that's often how you receive, waiting. Listen to worship music, worship Him, love Him. He stills your soul. It's magnificent. But when you're going for power, there's another zone. So the next two are quite similar. This Romans 8:26, this is where you're interceding. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's another verse, and these kind of go together in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but he speaks to God, and in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So, I shared this at the prayer meeting on Friday night. I a number of years ago, set a goal to pray for 100 hours in a month. And so I'm like, okay, I want to pray for 100 hours. Now, look, this is not to make anyone feel guilty. I get paid to pray, okay? So I'm allowed to pay on my work hours. I'm allowed to pray on my work hours. But God was just stirring me. And so I got to the last weekend of the month and I needed to pull an all-nighter. Okay, all the uni students out there, to get my 100 hours in, I needed an all-nighter. Danielle was away at a women's conference. And so I set myself to pray from 7 at night to 7 in the morning. I haven't done that barely at all, but that's a particular night for me. And so when I began to pray at the beginning, like a burden from God came on me, and I've shared this, but it was easy to pray. And a tongue came on me that was unusual. And so I'm like, oh, this night's going to go like that. This is awesome. And it's like, I'm not trying to pray. It's like something's praying through me. It's an intercession that's come on me. And I'm praying and I'm praying, and 7 o'clock, and I'm like, this is awesome. Rico, I wonder, like, I got no idea what God's doing. I got no picture, no idea, no concept. All I know is there's a burden, there's intercession on me, and I'm praying in the Spirit. And so then 9 o'clock, it's like, oh, it lifted. And it's back to me praying with a little bit of the Holy Spirit. It was way more fun when He was praying through me. And so then I ground my way through the night. The next morning, so I slept in, and the next morning I wake up, I've got all these missed phone calls on my phone. I ring them back from family, etc. And what I find out is that my oldest sister, who had really been away from God, was very sick, kidney failure, all sorts of different issues in her life, had been away from God. My parents had been praying for years. And on that particular night, my other sister's pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to him. His name's Roland. The Spirit of God spoke to Roland and said, Trish, my oldest sister, is going to die tonight. I want you to get one of the guys from the church who she knows to go to my sister's place and lead her to Christ. So this guy goes, finds Trish in the car outside my other sister's place in a complete mess. They call for the ambulance. She's like having a whole lot of issues. And he begins to go to Bold and say, you got to get right with God. And over a two-hour period, she confesses every sin she's ever done. She repents of everything she's ever been involved in, heavy, heavy stuff, gets right with God. And at the end of that night, okay, so here's the thing. It's from 7 till 9. I'm in Queensland praying in tongues, having no idea what I'm praying for. Well, God's got someone there setting her free. And at the end of it, she said, I'm so light, I must have been healed. She felt so light. She gets up, walks inside, and then she actually died that night. But the comfort of that is, for my parents who'd prayed for her for years and our family, she's gone to be with Jesus. What's crazy to me is the God who created the world could just barge in and do whatever he likes in people's lives. But he limits himself to your prayer and to my prayer. He says, Jesus, get them to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, why do we need to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, God? Can't you just do it? No, he says, I choose to limit myself to the prayers of the saints. That's why the devil opposes prayer so much in the saints, because it's the most powerful thing we can do. And so I came away from that night just going, oh, God. I was speaking mysteries in the Spirit. I was praying and the Holy Spirit was interceding on my behalf. So what I do when I come to this part of my praying in tongues, I remind myself of that. I'm like, I don't know what I'm praying right now, but I get down on my knees. And I grab the chair and it's like, there's a picture in the Old Testament of someone who goes into the temple and grabs the horns of on the altar, crying out for mercy. That's my picture. And I'm praying, God, I'm praying, I don't know what I'm praying, Lord, but your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm speaking mysteries. And I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you would intercede for me. I don't know what to pray as I ought, but you're praying through me, Holy Spirit. You're groaning with me, Holy Spirit, according to the will of God. And I set myself and I'll portion it. And sometimes I get a glimpse. I'm praying for this person, like the interpretation of tongues. I'm like, awesome, I'm praying for this person, God. Quite often I don't know what I'm praying for, but I'm committed to pray the mysteries of God into place. This is what I think happens. It's like a prophetic thing. I'm prophesying in the Spirit, and the Lord goes, if I told you what you were praying for, you just earth it with your unbelief. And I'm going to bypass the devil. Because when you pray in tongues, he doesn't know what you're praying for, but the Spirit knows what you're praying for, and he's interceding on your behalf according to the will of God. Are we helping anybody tonight? That's just some things, and I've got it. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, and I'll put the card up on my bookshelf, and I'll kneel, and I'll pray, and I'll cry out, and when I find my mind wandering, I'll go back to the Scripture, and I'll say the Scripture out loud, because I want to carry power. And I want to release the power of God to a generation. I want to be one of those people. And even if tonight there's just 5 people who go, I want to be one of those people. I want to be committed to prayer. I want to bring the power of God into my world, my family, my life, my future. Well, I'm just giving you some keys right now. Does that help anybody? I want you to stand on your feet right now. You can take my prayer chair away.